Good morning, everyone. This is Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup. An emissary from Washington is in Rome, where anti-U.S. sentiment is running high following the resignation of Prime Minister Bettino Craxi because of the Achille Lauro hijacking. Bill Redeker has the story.
In an effort to repair relations between Italy and the United States, Deputy Secretary of State John Whitehead has come to Rome to turn down the thermostat a bit, but not to apologize for U.S. actions during the recent hijacking of the cruise ship Achille Lauro. There have been unusually strong denunciations of America in most of the local newspapers here. One major daily accused the United States of arrogance and heavy-handedness. Another said Italy should refuse to act like a, quote, banana republic. A presidential palace spokesman tells CBS News that Giulio Andrade, Italy's foreign minister, will replace former Prime Minister Bettino Craxi in New York at the upcoming 40th anniversary of the United Nations. And so far, there has been no confirmation on Craxi's scheduled visit to Washington to meet with President Reagan and other leaders of the NATO industrialized nations. The U.S. interception of the Egyptian Airlines jet carrying the four Palestinian hijackers may have been a stunning military success, but the diplomatic consequences have been far from triumphant. Bill Redeker, CBS News, Rome.
The body of Leon Klinghoffer, killed aboard the ship by the hijackers and dumped into the sea, will be returned to the United States tomorrow. The State Department yesterday confirmed the autopsy findings of Italian investigators that Klinghoffer was killed with a bullet to the brain. The hanging of a black South African poet by the white minority government brought violence to the downtown area of a major city for the first time yesterday. Tony Danina is in Johannesburg.
Downtown Johannesburg is calm today. The streets typically crowded with the usual Saturday shoppers, most of them black. Except for boarded-up storefronts, it would seem Friday's racial riots were forgotten. But they are not, especially not by South Africa's whites. Dozens of white bystanders, many of them women, some with children, were attacked. Until now, racial rioting had been confined to black and non-white townships. Anyone here who wonders how white women and children could suddenly be swept into the unrest has only to look around. Whites are outnumbered 5-1. And as demonstrated Friday, when push comes to shove, there just aren't enough police to protect everyone everywhere. In South Africa, the ruling white minority knows it is vulnerable. That's why police estimate 9 out of 10 white households are armed. After Friday's trouble, it's expected even fewer whites will be willing to venture into potential trouble spots like downtown Johannesburg. Tony Danina for CBS News, Johannesburg.
East Coast residents from New Jersey to Massachusetts were startled awake this morning.
I woke up out of a sound sleep that the whole house was just trembling. The doors were shaking. The whole house was just shaking, really.
Fred Esposito of Danbury, Connecticut was one. Mount Vernon, New York Police Lieutenant Thomas Girardi was on duty.
We felt the beginnings of a rumbling, and it seemed to increase quite rapidly. And my first impression was that we had a possible train accident since we're in proximity to the train tracks, which are only a half a block away. But as it progressively increased in intensity, it was quite obvious to me at that time that we had some sort of earth tremor.
The National Earthquake Information Center measured the quake at 3.8 on the Richter scale, considered fairly good size for the eastern part of the nation. It was centered about 20 miles north of New York City. Aside from a good shaking, there was little, if any, damage done. There's no bargaining in Detroit this weekend, and the international Chrysler strike drags on, hopes for an early settlement dashed. Details from Rob Marr of affiliate WWJ.
It appears that the United Auto Workers Union strike against Chrysler Corporation will run at least close to 2 weeks. While negotiations continue in Canada on behalf of 10,000 picketing rank and file, contract talks in the United States are recessed. UAW leaders will be briefing representatives of the 70,000 striking hourly employees. Because issues have a way of becoming even more important during a walkout, some analysts say the possibility of a long strike is growing, but UAW President Owen Beaver says they'll work hard to avoid that.
Certainly the union wants very much to find a solution as quickly as possible to end this strike. I believe that the company shares that attitude. We have some very difficult items yet before us. And it's a question of whether or not and how soon we can find the answers to those problems.
Bargaining in the United States resumes Monday afternoon. Rob Marr for CBS News, Detroit.
The convicted mayor of San Diego has made a last-minute decision concerning his political future. Here's Vicki Taft of affiliate KFMB.
Roger Hedgecock has decided to stay in office as mayor of America's eighth-largest city. Jury tampering allegations have cast a doubt on the validity of the mayor's conviction on felony, perjury, and conspiracy charges. The mayor has political resiliency. As a supervisor, conflict of interest claims were put aside. As mayor, his first trial ended in a hung jury. And now the conviction from his second trial is seen as tainted. And nobody is as surprised and pleased as the mayor himself.
This sudden and wholly unexpected turn of events has forced me to reconsider my decision to resign as mayor.
His political resiliency is turning into legend. In fact, one supporter has sent Hedgecock a case of Nine Lives cat food. Vicki Taft for CBS News, San Diego.
More than 25 cars were involved in a pileup on a rain-slick highway near Detroit last night. State police say at least two-thirds of the people involved in the accident were injured. The Pentagon is taking major steps to keep aides out of the military. Defense Secretary Weinberger says all 2.1 million active duty personnel will be screened very soon for an antibody associated with the incurable disease. Typhoon Dot has blasted through the Philippines, killing at least 18 people before moving on toward China. But the storm veered away from Manila, sparing the capital much of its fury. Dot is not the only storm prowling Asian waters. Typhoon Cecil is taking its toll in Southeast Asia, as we hear from Rick Fredrickson in Bangkok.
The Vietnam News Agency reports tens of thousands of people homeless along the South China Sea coastline. In a broadcast monitored in Bangkok today, the report says 80-mile-an-hour winds from Typhoon Cecil hit the central Vietnam coast and wrecked virtually every home along a 210-mile stretch. No casualty figures were given, but the news agency said rescuers were racing against time to search for survivors. Vietnam's economy is in a shambles without these natural disasters. This is the eighth major storm to hit the communist nation this year. Rick Fredrickson for CBS News, Bangkok.
Another shark attack has been reported in Hawaii, the second in less than a week. Police say a 12-foot shark attacked a surfer off the island of Kauai. The victim's right hand was amputated, and he had severe cuts on his left hand. The time now, 10 minutes after.